Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and as we start the second year of Hope Is Here, I want to thank everyone for their encouragement, prayers, and their financial blessings this year. I'm really excited about 2019, and as my good friend Kevin Clark would say, I believe the best is yet to come. And as I reflect on my 53 years of life over this past holiday season, one of the reasons that I often personally lose hope is when I'm going through a season of suffering. And I can often become really discouraged. And as I heard my hero, Wayne Smith, the founding pastor of Southland, say one time, he thinks that's one of Satan's greatest tools is discouragement. Sometimes you just kind of wonder, you know, will this ever end? And I'm embarrassed to admit to you today as your host now for over a year of Hope Is Here that way too many times in my life, I've played the victim card and asked God that question, why is this happening to me? Well, today, as we start this new year, 2019, I'm excited to hopefully maybe help you change your perception and your response to suffering that so often does cause discouragement. And my guest this week is going to be Tim McAlpin. Some of you may remember the McAlpin's clothing stores and spelled like that. And he's written a really good book called The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. And I've been reading this book over the Christmas holiday season here into the new year, and it's really encouraged me, yet it's also really challenged me as a follower of Jesus. And I hope that you will make sure that you join us each time this week that we have Tim on and you can't catch it live on the radio. Remember, you can always catch the podcast at your convenience. Simply go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. But I want to welcome Tim McAlpin, a tremendous man of faith. The Hope Is Here. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, I also heard Wayne Smith, who I mentioned earlier, say one time, Tim, that God had one son without sin, but no son without sorrow. And so to be able to write a book called The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering, I would say you can probably relate to that quote, can't you?
I can. I can certainly relate to that. That's what prompted the book, was the events that happened and led up to that point in my life. It's 10 years this year that happened to my son. And
Actually, the 12/31, the day that this program's going to broadcast.
Getting ready to go over the 10-year mile marker. And I like to say, you know, how faithful God has been. You know, I thought during that time that it would all over. Only for God to give me such a supernatural sustainment, something you don't think about until that happens to you and you think that that's going to be the end. And then you find out how faithful God really is. He really is everything he says he is.
Well, I love that throughout your book as I've been reading it, how you just go back to that so many times through the suffering that God is there and he is faithful. And Tim did lose his son, Jay, on December 31st, 2008, and we're going to hear more about that here in a few minutes. But, Tim, you also had a really major loss, went through some suffering at an early age because you lost your dad at an early age.
I did. I say I lost my dad when I was 12 and my son when I was 52. I said, Lord, don't you want me to have anybody? And he says, wow. You know, I'm enough for you, Tim. Mm. And I asked my friend John Davis, he's a real good friend of mine, he's in his mid-80s and still just as spry as ever, and we have a sort of weekly meetings. And I said, what's the odds, John, that you would lose your father and lose your son all in the same lifetime? He said, those are astronomical odds. But that did happen to me, and, you know, my last meeting with Jay was New Year's Eve of 2008, and that's where the River of the Lord came from. We had a prayer time. We'd let our employees go early that day because it was New Year's Eve. And we had a prayer and we prayed. And I said, Jay, just look at yourself. We should look at our best year in business we ever had. And it was sort of a mile marker in several different ways. Jay was going through a divorce. Had a young son, Cameron, that was 6 years old at the time. And I said, hey, you know, look, let's just look at our lives as though we're in a canoe on a river. I said, let's just say the river of the Lord. And I said, let's bring in our oars and trust the flow of that river. let's don't fight to go to the right or the left, and let's just let the flow of that river take us where God wants us to go. Now, little did I know that later on that night, that river would be taking Jay to heaven. But that's the first time I had ever heard the words, the river of the Lord.
So this was just through a conversation, a prayer time. This guy kind of spoke that to your heart and mind.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I wasn't really familiar with that term either, and you did base it off scripture, and I'm going to talk more about that. But if you don't mind, just, you know, you lost your dad. You said you were 12 years old then. Mm-hmm. At the age of 52, you lose your precious son. Tell about what happened to Jay.
Well, he was at a little New Year's Eve thing, and he was at his house, and Jay was very gun knowledgeable and everything, and one of his friends, who evidently was not very knowledgeable, picked up a gun, said he thought it was unloaded, and pointed it at Jay and pulled the trigger. You know, it's crazy as it sounds, you know, I wouldn't pick up a gun and point it at a stray cat without checking to see if it was loaded, but kids are kids, and, you know, there was some alcohol around, and, you know, they were reckless, and there you go. What do you do?
So how did you find out about Jay's passing?
I was, you know, one of the things that is sort of a common denominator, a constant in all of this, is my grandfather. We called him Daddy Mac. And Daddy Mac taught me the scripture verse, the gospel, we call it, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried the third day and rose again according to the scriptures, 15th chapter, 3rd and 4th verses, 1 Corinthians. And during that time, I told Jay right there at the last, I said, you know, we need to do something for God. Daddy Mac gave his life for God. What can we do? So that night when Jay was killed, we had billboards up all over Lexington that had that scripture verse on them. And that scripture verse was on the tombstone where when my dad was killed, and I'd never been to a graveyard before, and my grandfather had taught me that scripture verse at age 5, and then at the graveyard where my dad was killed, that scripture verse was on the stone. So, you know, when they brought me the news at 5 o'clock that morning, there's just nothing in the world that can prepare you for something as profound as that. But the first thing that happened to me is I went back as a little kid in the lap of my white-headed Baptist preacher, 1928 graduate Baptist preacher from Southern Seminary, grandfather, sitting in his lap, looking in his beautiful blue eyes and him saying, Timmy, it's always safe to trust God. And that's immediately where I went that night. And I looked back over the span of my life. You know, I thought it was smooth sailing. Jay and I had done well. We were very successful. Yes, I had that happen to me when I was 12 years old. My father was killed. And I thought, well, you know, I've had my share of suffering. You know, I've paid my dues. Surely it's going to be smooth sailing for me. Then to find out that the roughest thing that could ever happen happened. And then I had to plug back in. But it's a very, as bad as it all is, and as bad as it all was, God has made up for that so much for me of giving me supernatural sustainment. And I mean supernatural sustainment. There's not a day that goes by that I don't feel the supernatural sustainment of God's promises. And the book details event after event after event after event that God showed up in a way to let me know he was involved in this and he was going to see me through and light my path and show me the way. And I still have that I hold on to this day. And it's a wonderful thing to be here today because it's a mile marker. We're getting ready to go over the 10-year mile marker. And I walk in the supernatural sustainment of the power of God every day.
Well, I, you know, always am honest on this program, and I didn't intentionally realize, you know, schedule this. I wish I was that good to say, you know, we're going to have it here on the 8th anniversary of Jay's homecoming to be with Jesus. But yet, as you're listening, you're thinking, wow, listen to the faith of this father who lost not only his earthly father at the age of 12, but also his earthly son. So as an earthly father, as he said, I mean, what is the possibility, I mean, that you bury both your father and your son within a 40-year period? I mean, it's just, like you said, your friend John Davis, I mean.
What I begin to see about this, Greg? I begin to see that when you and me think about deliverance, God is thinking development. God is building souls throughout eternity. Now, I say this. If you had a coal mine over here in Kentucky, in eastern Kentucky, and somebody said, well, we can't go over there and mine that coal mine, you say, why? They said, because there's no coal in it. Well, then you wouldn't go mine it. But see, I look at that and have come to see that that's the way God is with us. God doesn't fool around with people that he knows that they're... I like to say God likes to mine gold. He's making our souls and developing our souls for all eternity. But, you know, there you see people in this life that never have anything happen to them. Well, I think that, well, there's just no gold to mine there, you know. Mm. But, and I say that it is a honor and it's a blessing when you suffer, because suffering is highly valued in God's economy. And so it's a, of course, I know human nature rejects that. Everybody wants it easy. Everybody wants it nice. But did Jesus have it easy? Did the disciples have it easy? Has any true servant of God, did they ever have it easy? No, they haven't had it easy. God values suffering, and he uses that as a point of reference in our lives to develop us in that soul that he created us to be. God's thinking long term. He doesn't do anything quick, and he doesn't do anything that doesn't have eternal consequences.
Well, in one of the chapters in your book, you talked about, it was, I believe, Hebrews 13:5, I'm not mistaken. And I just, you know, I've read it before, but like a lot of times in life, just, you know, there's certain times where you hear things in ways that, you know, other seasons maybe you don't. And I just thought it was such a great verse that you talked about, that Jesus, you know, though he was God's son, that through suffering that he learned obedience.
Absolutely. And the Bible also says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And so, you know, when this happened, my wife's a 30-year oncology nurse, and she says, Tim, I want you to go see a grief counselor. And I said, well, I don't want to go see a grief counselor. She said, I know you don't, but go anyway. So I went, and I didn't like it. I got up and left, and I went down to my farm, and the Holy Spirit showed up, and God says, hey, Tim, don't be crippled by this. Notice my trees. Notice my blue sky. You're only here for a few minutes. And at that moment, I believe that God supernaturally imparted into me the knowledge of the brevity of this life. And that was 10 years ago. And man, 10 years older now, I see really the brevity of this life. And so 4 or 5 hours later, I was going out to eat with my wife after that beautiful event with God. And there's an old man getting out of a Mercedes and emaciated with cancer. And I went up and I said, hey, man, I said, I like your new car. And he said, yeah, they tell me I've got like 90 days to live. And I wanted to go out and get me a new car. And I said, well, I think that's great. And I said, well, I know kind of what you mean. My son was killed. I've been going through this death and grief and all that. And we talked for a few minutes, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. He leaned over and his nose got really close to my nose, and he looked at me and he says, I'm going to tell you something, son. Don't you ever forget it. I said, what? He said, you're only here for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I thought, you know, God had just told me that. So
that's powerful. We are only here for a few minutes, and unfortunately we are out of time, but we're going to be hearing a lot more from Tim McAlpin in his powerful book, The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.